On this Pentecost Sunday, I'm not going to preach the traditional Acts 2 sermon because I think we need more than Acts 2 this morning. I think we really need to hear what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit would do. And so I'll tell you that text that was read, are we listening to the Spirit that Jesus is talking about? Are we listening to the Spirit that Jesus is talking about? Let us pray. Almighty God, as always, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship experience. We thank you for the prayers, the reading of the word and the song. But now comes the preaching moment. Because somebody needs to hear some proclamation this morning in this world gone crazy. So Lord, as always, if there's anything that is destructive in me, if there's anything in me that would pervert your holy and righteous word, I ask you, Lord, to get rid of it right now, no matter how painful it might be to me. Give me that clarity of mind, of sight, and of speech, because somebody needs to hear what Jesus said about the Spirit this morning. And then, oh Lord, I call on you one more time. And because you've done it before, and I stand on your promises, I know you can do it one more time. You can give me the strength to preach this word. And everybody say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Are we listening to the Spirit Jesus talked about? On this Sunday, as Christians, we celebrate Pentecost. But many of us fail to remember that Pentecost was a Jewish feast. The feast of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. You know, there was an agricultural economy. They didn't walk down to the store. And they gave thanks to God for God's provision of something to eat. And that's something too many of us take for granted today. For even though our grocery bills are getting higher, I know because I do the shopping at my family, you know, bananas going from 39 cents a pound to 69 cents a pound. And that's just banana, but some of us still throwing food away. Jesus in later years celebrated Pentecost as the remembrance of the law being given to Moses. In both cases, Jews showed up on that day at the temple to worship God. And most of the Jews went to the temple on that day. But there was another group of Jews. They were followers of a man who had been executed by an oppressive government. As Christians, we know him as Jesus. And about 125 of his followers were huddled in an upper room, afraid. They had no idea of what they should do when the Spirit of God showed up like tongues of fire. Peter went out and preached to an assembly a sermon that had never been preached before. And the Holy Spirit was a few. In an hour, those 125 became 5,000. And if you read the book of Acts, the history of the early church, you'll see the Holy Spirit at work. At work so that in a few hundred years, Christians had transformed a Jewish holiday into a Christian holiday, saying the gift of the Holy Spirit to the followers of Jesus was the first fruits of the coming of a new order, the kingdom of Almighty God. But on this Sunday morning, and I have to admit it's been happening for a long time, I've got to wonder what happened to that Spirit. The Spirit that showed up in Acts. But more especially the Spirit of God, the companion, the comforter, what some versions call the advocate. What happened to the Spirit that Jesus talked about in the text? For Jesus talks about what the Spirit will do. However, it seems that we are all caught up in the same trap of the Corinthian church where manifestations of the Spirit was all about impressing other people. Along with their group, they call themselves super apostles. Or they claim they had special spiritual gifts. And no matter how much trouble everybody else was having, trouble didn't come their way. And that the members of the church were to support their rabbit's lifestyle. Sounds familiar today, doesn't it? And it just shows that too many Christians don't read their Bible and try to understand what they're reading. And when the church falls into that trap, we fail to know what the one we say we follow said about the Spirit. And it makes it obvious that why so many things horrible happen in the name of Jesus. Oh, most of us know about the Holocaust, where 6 million people who were of the Jewish faith, just like Jesus, was exterminated. What I only learned recently was that in this Christian nation called Germany, where there was a Catholic, and Lutheran church in each town, that Christian nation that gave us Martin Luther, who started the Protestant Reformation, 56,000 Christians were put to death at the Buchenwald concentration camp because of the way they practiced their Christian faith that was seen as a threat to the ideology of white supremacy. And even the way we tell the story, we make Dietrich Bonhoeffer a modern. Yes, he was. But we ignore Paul Schlimmer, a Lutheran pastor, along with Otto Neruda, a Catholic priest, and 56 others. And see, that shows me why the church of today does not have the power of the early church. I see how slavery and Jim and Jane Crow were endorsed by so-called religious leaders. I see how 3 men could run down and kill a young black man and still be called God-fearing men. And how this week I saw an officer of the state that Paul says was ordained by God, put his foot on the neck of a black man until life had left his body. On this Sunday morning, I'm not going to preach about the story that we know so well. I'm going to preach what this nation needs to know, not just in these times, but in all times, because Jesus is coming back, not just to get his own. Jesus is coming back to church. Oh, in the chapters preceding our text, a lot of things are happening. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, strips down and washes his feet of his disciples. See, Jesus did that as an example. But how many who say that they follow Jesus follow that same example? Jesus announces that Peter would deny, and he did. But see, that's good news for all Christians this morning. Because you can mess up and Jesus will still take you back. See, I hope somebody that heard that is perverting the word of God right now heard that. Jesus will give you a chance to get it right. Jesus teaches us to love one another. Notice Jesus doesn't say like. Jesus says love. Jesus talks about the world hating us because we live our lives as Jesus would have us. Yet Christians are mad at the world today because the world doesn't live like that some Christians don't even live. Oh, verse 26, chapter 5, sets up the text when it says, when the comforter, Advocate, it comes, who I am sent, the Spirit of truth will precede the Father, and he will testify about him, me, and we should testify about Jesus. And that has me wanting to ask the question this morning. If Jesus sent the Spirit of God to be with us while we are in this life right now, why do so many people who look like you and me feel that we got to suffer all the time? We got to endure everything in order to receive our reward in glory. Well, see, Jesus sent the Spirit of God to give us some strength, and Jesus came that he might have a promise. Like that's John 10:10. Not with our backs bent, so that somebody could ride our backs. Not with our heads hung low, so that we can't look to where our help comes from. See, the theology of waiting for things to get right when we get to heaven is just as destructive. In fact, it endorses the theology of white supremacy that has held us back for so long. See, I didn't come this morning to preach the theology of Paul. I didn't come this morning to preach the theology of Luther, Catherine, Calvin, or any other dead white man. I came this morning to preach the words of Jesus. And the first thing our text teaches us this morning is Jesus left so the Holy Spirit would come. I used to, and I still have problems with why Jesus would have to leave in order for the Spirit of God to come. Well, my Bible says the Spirit of God came upon the earth. Isaiah and Jesus said the Spirit of God is upon me. Read a few more chapters in John and it said that Jesus said the Spirit of God I give to you. So I'm still trying to unpack the why. But now I just got to leave it and say, you know, I'll ask Jesus to explain it when I get to glory. Or maybe the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit would be too great to coexist in this limited place called earth. It could, on the other hand, help us more. Or maybe Jesus didn't want the Spirit to be limited to where he was. Jesus wanted the Spirit of God to reach all of creation. Jesus makes it clear in verse 5 where he comes from. But now I'm going to the one who sent me. Jesus was talking about God. Jesus was saying to the group of men who were following him, not only following him, but they had given up everything they had. Well, that's the exact opposite of the day. But many don't want to give up anything. They just want God to bless them all over again. Jesus takes the explanation a little further in verse 7 when he says, I assure you that it is better if I go away. And I can understand that. For as long as Jesus was around, the focus would be on the healing that Jesus would do. The focus would be on Jesus beating 5,000 with almost no food. The focus would be on Jesus walking on the water and calming the Red Sea. It would have always been Jesus show us one more miracle instead of Jesus saving our souls and making us whole. Jesus makes it very plain. If I go away, the companion or comforter, if I don't go away, the companion or comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send it to you. And I know we love to sing that song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. But if I can't have Jesus, send me the Spirit of Almighty God. And the Spirit of God is not just going to show up, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. A lot of things are going to be exposed. Or maybe that's why we try to keep the Spirit of God from showing up. But it amazes me how many things people try to hide. We try to hide the relationships that we're in when we know that they're wrong. We got a president trying to hide his tax return. We got the government don't want to release the Mueller report. Let's just tell the truth and shame the devil. There's some things going on right up in God's house that are being hidden. Listen to what Jesus says about the Spirit. The Spirit will show the world that it is wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And even though the church is supposed to be the bride of Jesus, Jesus knew when he spoke these words, his bride would be co-opted by the world. For the Roman emperor started using the church to promote his agenda in the 3rd century. and people have been using the body of Christ for things that have not been Christ-like ever since. Sin is rebellion against God. And as members of the household of faith, we should not endorse sin, but who gave us the authority to be the sin police? For I sin, you sin, all sin. Yet as Christians, we act like we have the right to lock up people because they sin differently than we do. See, I don't think Jesus died for the church to be a prison for sinners. Jesus died so the church would be a hospital for the sin-sick soul. And the same holds true about righteousness. Righteousness is what God is all about. Righteousness is about being morally right. That's a conversation we don't have enough in the church. I've been called out for pointing out actions in the church that were unethically. But righteousness is not about wearing a long dress or a dark suit. You don't get points for righteousness by showing up on Sunday morning and you still got a robe and eye. If we would listen to Jesus and stop following some of the perceptions of the letters of Paul and them other writers, see, people will not be treated the way they are being treated today and have been treated in the past. People would be paid a living wage. You would not have children living in concentration camps in these United States. Everybody would have equal opportunity. Women in ministry would not be a battle. Police violence against people of color would come to an end. Jesus came to make us right with God, but we have let the world clip what righteousness is. Spirit needs to help us with judgment. But too many times, the things we need to judge, along with the things we ain't got no business judging, we have let our own personal prejudices, our own personal biases, we have even let theologies we know are wrong yet tickle our ears, cause us to judge wrongly and for the wrong reasons. Too many stones are being thrown in the world. Too many stones being thrown by Christians when Jesus said, let him who without sin cast the first stone. Well, I know I've talked about judging and dealing with sin and righteousness, but as Christians, we need to stop this justice of the wild, wild west. Coming to quick conclusions. Failure to look up the past. The idea that even if it's in the wrong person, somebody has to pay. See, I see too much of that old gun smoker. You see it on the right woman, and we see it front and center today, but most importantly, it's Christians. Spirit did not come to give us the right to judge and condemn people to hell because they sin or look differently than we do. We should be trying to show others how to live. Just make sure your life is in order. Because I've lived my life too many times. I've seen people railing against certain behaviors. Many of them have a problem dealing with that same behavior or something similar. People talking about addiction to alcohol and drugs and all that stuff. And they addicted to pornography. See, too many people going around espousing purity, calling for purity in others when they need to get some purity into their own life. And I believe the Spirit of God can help us. And if the Spirit of God can help us, we should point other people to that same Spirit to get some help. But all of us need the help of Almighty God. I know that same spirit of many that's not the same spirit many have been taught. Because if we embrace the spirit that Jesus is talking about, this world would be a better place. But Jesus is telling his disciples, the spirit will proclaim some things. Oh, the church has always been about proclamation. Because they ain't got no proclamation. They say you don't have no church. But proclamation is not just to make you feel good. See, but that ain't nobody ever came. Proclamation should make your life better. Proclamation should make the lives of others better, because we're all in this thing together. Proclamation should speak truth to power and rock the boat. Oh, let me say that one more time. Proclamation should speak truth to power and rock the boat. If you ain't ready to rock the boat, sit down and let somebody else step up. In fact, the black church has failed to proclaim what the Spirit of God speaks when it comes to the two-minute problem that all of us face. And that's why we're having such a problem being relevant in the lives of some of the people walking up and down the street protesting right now, because we've been quiet and because we ain't been in charge, we can't be a part of it. Spirit will show the world that the world is wrong because they don't believe in me. And I got to tell the truth and shame the devil this morning. Many who say they believe in Jesus. Many who say they follow Jesus. But Jesus, for them, ain't nothing but a prop, a get over. But why would somebody act like they being hung on a cross to protest not being able to sit down and eat inside of McDonald's when you get outside, get in your car, or take it anywhere? See, when the writers of Paul, or those claiming to be Paul, differ from what Jesus said, why do we follow Paul? I thought I was a Christian. I ain't a Paulinist. I'm a follower of Jesus. Why do we endorse systems that are against humankind, which is made in the image of God, and think it's all right with God? Why do we support policies that destroy the planet that we live on and God's created, and say, oh, God said it's all right? See, I have to believe it's because we have not taken the time to know who Jesus is. And when you don't, people can not only convince you to do things that are contrary to what the Spirit of God wants you to do. There is no way you can believe in Jesus because you don't know him. Spirit will show the world it's wrong about righteousness. But verse 11 is a real warning. A warning for those who have Americanized Christianity. He will show the world it is wrong about judgment because the world's rulers stand condemned. Condemned right here in these United States for denying needed health care. Condemned for not making sure our children are fed healthy meals at school. Condemned for policies that institutionalize racism. Condemned for allowing payday lenders to fleece those who have sold them. And the idea that the church's sole responsibility is to support the nation and its economic system. See, because you got in some places where the flag and the national anthem, they have taken center stage in the church, and Jesus is pushed to the storage room and only pulled up on Christmas and Resurrection Sunday. Listen to what Jesus is saying. For the Spirit right now is saying to stop doing the things that we've been doing too long. On this Pentecost Sunday, we need to thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. Let's thank him by listening to and doing what the Spirit would have us to do. A lot of wrongs done in the name of Jesus must be righted. Let the Spirit of God guide you in all truth. Not some dead traditions, not what somebody told you about a certain ideology, not when somebody told you that you didn't know anything about and they didn't know any better. Oh, I want to be able to say one day that slaveholder religion that has been stuck in prison our minds for so long, it has left the building and been buried in the grave. Because people started listening to the spirit that Jesus talked about. A spirit that glorified Jesus. It's time for all of us to glorify Jesus. Glorify Jesus by standing up against Rome. For Jesus stood up against Rome. In fact, that's why they killed him. And let's proclaim like Jesus, the spirit, the real Jesus. The Jesus who came to make things right. The Jesus who came to make all things new. The Jesus who wants everybody in creation to have life. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to others. And we owe it to Jesus. Because Jesus, I said Jesus, he paid it all. He paid it all for you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all for me. So let the Spirit of God come. Listen to that Spirit. I'm tired of seeing black men being killed, stolen based on the fact that they are black. I'm tired of seeing our young people not getting the opportunities that others get. Oh, I'm tired of the mind games that have been played on my people to have them believing they can't help themselves. The Spirit says differently. So I'm calling on the Spirit right now to speak into our community. God wants more than tongues of fire in that upper room. Jesus wants your life, my life, and the lives of so many others to be better, not in glory, but to be better in the here and now, right now. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to walk in peace. Let the Holy Spirit come into every church this morning. Change the words of some of these preachers. Change the ideas of some of the people sitting in the pew. Some of the folks that want to be in charge, just to be in charge. And make this world, make this world, make this world a better place. Amen. Amen. And amen.